We'll be back in the book of James if you'd like to tap there or turn there. If you're flipping in a paper Bible, it's toward the back of your Bible, not all the other way back, but James is found toward the back. We'll be in chapter 3 later on. We're going to pick it up from where we left off a few weeks ago. The sermon series is called James, Straight Talk. Straight Talk. Now, James is written to believers. Remember that. This is not a book on how to be saved or how to get God to like you or to love you. This is James assuming you have made that commitment to Jesus Christ. You have confessed him as Lord. You have asked him to be your Savior. And you have a desire to follow Jesus. These are the things that James is assuming when you're reading this. Now, if you've never made a decision for Christ or you're not sure of your status with him, I would love to talk to you after the service. I'll make time for you. This week, you get high priority. I'll cancel other things if you want to talk about Jesus. But for those of you that are followers of Jesus, you desire to follow him, here is what James expects from you as his follower. Now, don't look at this. It's very tempting sometimes. This happens in church. Don't look at this as a list of rules. It's not a list of rules. This is what a follower of Jesus looks like day to day, or some of it anyway. And if there's something, you know, we read today or anywhere in James or anywhere else in the Bible for that matter, if there's something that's out of line in your life, you know, you line your life up with the Bible and you're like, no, I'm not doing that, or I'm doing that and shouldn't be, that is an indicator that something is amiss or off in your relationship with Jesus. God loves you as you are. Even if you're caught up in some habitual sin right now, God still loves you as you are. And he gives us commands. These commands are there to bless you and or protect you. All of them in the Bible. He gives us commands out of love, not to try to make our lives more difficult. Sometimes I like to have a reflection time, if you want to call it that, or a ministry time at the end, and we'll take 20 or 30 seconds, and I'll give you a challenge of some sort. This time I want to start with it. This week we're going to start with it. You don't have to share with anybody. This is just between you and God, your own mind. It could be anything you want. So there's zero risk of being honest, being just completely honest with yourself and with God. So here's the question. We'll have it on the screen here. When you need wisdom, where do you usually go first? When you need wisdom, where do you usually go first? What's your first reaction? The real answer, all right? You don't have to share it. I'll give you 20 seconds. I'll watch the time. You think about that for just a few seconds. Whatever your real answer was, we all know what the answer should be. Today's message is called Who is Wise? You know the answer to this question. Remember, when we're talking about wisdom, being wise, we're not talking about intelligence or education or experience or your lot in life or your station in life or anything like that. Wisdom can be had apart from any of those things. So we all know the answer even before I read the passage to you today. I'll see if you're awake here. I'm going to ask you, where should we be getting our wisdom? I'll point and you say where we should be getting it. I think you know, all right? Where should we be getting our wisdom? God. If you said Jesus, Holy Spirit, or the Father, those are acceptable answers as well. But we don't always go to him first, do we? Not always. We need wisdom for something. Maybe it's a big decision. What school should I go to? Should I marry that person? How do I handle a child that's rebelling? Should we buy that house? Should I change jobs or maybe start my own business? Those are the kind of things we need to know what to do. And then there's general wisdom as well. There's all sorts of things we need wisdom for. And that list could be a lot longer, all these things we need, you know, specific answers. We all face decisions in our lives. Sometimes they're big decisions. You know, if you do A, you're going to your life is going to take a different trajectory than if you did B. Which one should I take? We don't know what to do, so we go looking for wisdom somewhere. And often, we first go to a friend or a family member. We consult a book. We go to a counselor, read an article, watch something on YouTube, or any number of sources that we can find wisdom. And there are many sources of wisdom. Some of those can be very good sources of wisdom, but we often don't go to God first. Sometimes we even treat him as a last resort. I've read the book, and I've talked to my friends, and I've talked to my family, and you do the whole thing, and, oh, maybe I should ask God now, because I still don't know the answer. Well, let's see what the Bible says about this. I'm reading from the NIV this morning, the New International Version. I'm in James 3. I'm going to start at verse 13, and it'll be up on the screens here, too, in the NIV, and I'll read through verse 18. So just a few verses today. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. And James closes this section with verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So who is wise? This is not the first time that James has mentioned wisdom. If you were here for the very first message several months ago in James, you may remember this verse. It comes from James 1, chapter 5. Take a look at it. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously without finding, or gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So we know, we all know in here the source of perfect wisdom. We can give it out in the Sunday school class or the small group or whatever. God's our source of wisdom. James 1:5 says we should ask for wisdom anytime we need it. God promises that he will give it to us. God says that he's generous with his wisdom. And James expands on that statement and talks more about wisdom in the verses I read before in chapter 3. So let's look at them in more detail. Here's verse 13 again. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. He's putting these two things together, wisdom with the way we act, the way we live our lives. So are you wise? Do you need wisdom? We all do sometimes. Take a look at your relationship with Jesus, because living a wise life in general will reflect certain things to others. And the opposite is true, of course, as well. And so obtaining wisdom is more of an ongoing lifestyle and not simply seeking answers to things. Although we read this in James 1:5, it's perfectly fine to approach God and ask for wisdom on certain things. But living a wise life in general, it's going to reflect in your life. And so if it's a lifestyle and not just asking the answers to hard things, that sounds harder, right? You want to just go to God when you need him. It sounds harder to live this lifestyle of wisdom. But nobody said following Jesus would make your life easier. Even Jesus himself said, you better count the cost. I'm calling you to a hard life. Seeking Jesus daily, not just in times of trouble, it's going to look a certain way. And this verse says your general wisdom, being a wise person, is going to show by the life you live, a good life, those deeds that you do in humility. The more your life reflects Christ, the more it will show that you are living a wise life in general. And James tells us that a true relationship with Jesus is going to show up in everyday life. Work, school, spouse, friends, any number of places, the organizations that you're part of. Everything you do communicates your relationship status with Jesus to others. Let me say that again. Everything you do communicates your relationship status with Jesus to other people. All right, let's get into the opposite of true wisdom. James lays that out in verses 14, 15, and 16. Kind of take those together. verse 14 says, but, he's saying, you know, this is true wisdom, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. If you find some envy or selfish ambition in your heart and you don't do anything about it, you can't expect to find wisdom if that's the way you live. If you're not living a wise life, how can you expect God to give you the wisdom you need on a certain decision? Ask the Holy Spirit to show you areas of envy, areas of selfish ambition. And look how James put that. He didn't just talk about ambition. There's nothing wrong with ambition, but selfish ambition. Ask him to get those things out of your life. Now, verse 15. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. The wisdom that doesn't come from God is not from heaven, and it's fake. That's why the NIV puts some quotes around wisdom. Not all the versions do that. It's just a wisdom, right? And there's not a person in this room that wants any part of that. I know that. You don't want to be part of that. James says the wisdom that you seek is either from God or is not from God. James is that black and white person. Those of you that are black and white folks, you like James, right? It's either from God or it's not. Wisdom is either spiritual or unspiritual. It's either heavenly or it's demonic. There's no in between for black and white James. Verse 16, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. Disorder is not from God. Evil practices, that doesn't come from God. You and I need to continually seek God's wisdom. It does not magically appear. You don't just pick it up by osmosis. We have to get it from him by living for him. Here's a very practical challenge this morning. Think about your usual decision-making process. You might have thought about this a little bit when we did the reflection question. So your usual decision-making process, I'm not talking about what to have for breakfast, that kind of thing, but when you need to make a decision, do you pray about it before anything else, before consulting anyone else? Before making that decision, you may end up consulting other sources, whether it's the book or the podcast or whatever it is, but did you pray first in your decision-making process? Did you ask God for wisdom before spending that money on vacation? Did you ask God for wisdom before giving your opinion to someone that you disagreed with? Did you ask God for wisdom before that last big purchase? Did you ask God for wisdom before buying the car that got you to church today? Did you ask God for wisdom before asking that person out on a date? Because you might end up marrying that person. Those are very important things to pray for. I thought about some decision-making processes that I've gone through in the past, and I thought of some that I made without praying. And the one that stood out for me is many years ago, this would have been 1997, we bought a house in Jackson, Missouri. Jackson's very close to, help me, Cape Girardeau, thank you. I don't even know where I lived. All right, it was very close to Cape Girardeau, just kind of a next door. Now, in God's grace, he allowed us to have very good memories in that house with our children and people that visited us. So it was okay. But I didn't pray before we bought that house, or the bank bought the house for us. And one day in the car, I don't remember why the conversation came up, but I confessed this to Diana, and she was less than happy about it, which I don't blame her, because I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader in the house, and I fell down on the job that time. We ended up taking a very serious financial bath on this house. Now, there's more to the story than that, but that's the point. We ended up getting hurt financially. Not that finances are everything, and we didn't lose everything. It wasn't like we went bankrupt, but reason we didn't lose everything is because of God's grace as well. And I don't have any way of knowing or telling you what would have happened if I'd prayed about the house first and really sought God on it. But what I do know is that I didn't. and that we lost a lot of money, and that hurt us in the future. I'm not saying God was punishing me in any way, but I left God out of the decision-making process, and that was hard. Ended up being hard. The world gives you advice every day without you asking for it. You get advice all the time through media, through billboards, everything else, marketing, advertisements, so-called social media influencers, newsmakers, news opinion shows. That you can make a long list of these things that you're just giving you advice that you didn't ask for. But all of them, even the ones you personally agree with, if they're not rooted in God's word, they are giving you worldly, not heavenly advice. The point of this is not to tell you you can't find good advice or wisdom from other people. The point is, and what I want you to go home with today, is to go to God first before all those other sources. When you go to God first, he may send someone your way. He may speak to you, you know, internally. He may lead you to the book or some other source. But let him do the choosing and not you. And remember that godly wisdom is going to come from another believer, someone that is rooted in Christ and biblically based. It's not going to be marketing or advertisement, the social media influencers and the news channels. It's not going to give you godly advice. God is not going to send you to those sources. The wisdom you need, if God decides it should come from another person or source, it's going to be someone that is seeking God's wisdom, just like you and I should be. James gives us some words that will help us recognize his wisdom and not the world's. And that is found in verse 17. Look at that again. But the wisdom that comes from heaven, so now he's bouncing back to what God has to say about wisdom. The wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. James says here that there are eight characteristics of God's wisdom. And I'm wondering if you would say them together with me. Let's bring it up on the screen. I'll say the number, and you guys in unison say the word or words that are with that number, okay? Nice and loud. Number one. All right. Number two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. And eight. All right, those are the things to look for when we're seeking God's wisdom. Those are the things he will give you, either internally through prayer, or he sends somebody to you, or you go to someone. Those are the things that mark true godly wisdom. And you can apply this to everything in your life, because Jesus wants to be part of everything in your life. I look at that list, and that sounds like Jesus to me. That sounds like things Jesus reflected in his life. Characteristics of Jesus. Jesus was wisdom personified. And you can find that in the preamble to John's gospel. If you want wisdom, be like Jesus. If you want to recognize wisdom, think like Jesus. If you need wisdom about something, think about what Jesus might say to you about it. Ask him. If it sounds like Jesus, you've got true wisdom. If it sounds like the world, even a little bit, because sometimes we get these mixed messages, but if it sounds like the world, now you've just got bad advice at best. So before you go to the friend, before you go to the family member, the book, the counselor, the YouTube channel, or whatever else you might go to God first. So who is wise? The person that seeks God before everything else. Here's something you could put into practice this week. It's very easy to remember. Before you make a decision, there'll be some decisions you have to make this week. They may not be life-altering things, but you never know. Before you make a decision, talk to God first. Just talk to him. Ask for his wisdom. He already promised he would give it to you. Try it. See what happens. Now, James has one more thing to point out. And it's the opposite of what he talked about before, and that is bitter envy and selfish ambition. There is a result when you seek God's wisdom. Something happens. And the result that James gives us is peace. We all want peace, right? Look at verse 18. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. Remember that being a peacemaker does not mean you can't have a different opinion from someone else. What it means is that you seek God first, and when you do, you will become a peacemaker. It will naturally happen. And you won't be a person of envy and selfish ambition. When you have those different opinions, if you're a peacemaker, they're expressed in love and not just making it sound good. I love you, brother. I love you, sister. But, you know, you're terrible. That stuff can be faked, right? You could fake that. But really expressing love for the other person, really caring about their well-being with the love of Jesus. And I am fully aware that it's very easy for me to stand in front of you and tell you to do this. It's easier for me to tell you than it is for me to do. Because sometimes we just see differently, even among brothers and sisters. You might have a tough and unreasonable boss. I don't know, maybe there's some issues in your family. Maybe you're having some relationship trouble with a friend or romantic interest. Whatever it is, we're called to be peacemakers, and that doesn't mean go along to get along. It doesn't mean being a doormat. It doesn't mean letting people use you for their own selfish gain. It means we are to be people of peace, and we reflect peace. Romans 12:18 is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And Paul wrote this, and he said, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Isn't that a great verse? I just love that verse. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Paul is recognizing in his first word that it is not always possible. But he's telling us, you do what you need to do to be a peacemaker. You seek God for your wisdom. You trust God in receiving that wisdom. This is a key. This is very key into obtaining true godly wisdom. Have you ever thought about Jesus being a peacemaker, a man of peace? I mean, the angels said to the shepherds that, peace on earth, goodwill to men. The Messiah is coming. Has come. He's bringing peace on earth. You ever think of Jesus as a peacemaker? Now, there were some times. He said some really hard things. He confronted government people and especially religious leaders just head on, and they didn't like it. There were times that he did things like cleansing the temple physically. But he sought the Father at all times for wisdom in every situation. Think of the times, even if you've just read the Gospels a little bit, but think of the times where certain Gospels will say, he went alone to pray. He went off to a solitary place to pray, or he prayed with the disciples. He prayed for himself. He sought the Father. Always. And ultimately, because of his sacrifice on the cross, he brought peace to all people. Now, we're not experiencing that in full yet, but we will, because someday we will all live in total peace with Jesus and other believers because of his sacrifice. We'll be living in heaven with him. Ultimate place of peace. In the meantime, he asks us to follow him. He asks us to imitate him. And he asks us to remember him until he returns. And this morning, we're going to remember him in the way that he showed us. And that's through communion. Our servers will come forward. As I mentioned, we'll pass out both elements at the same time. If you could just hold on to those, we'll take them both together. And Twyla will be playing. I thought Twyla was going to. Here she comes. Twyla will be playing during the passing out of the elements. And I really encourage you to focus on the idea of Jesus being a peacemaker. And if you have anything to confess, to tell God about, this is a great time to do it if you didn't do it before. So I'm going to pray, and then our servers will pass these out, and then we'll take it together in just a moment. Father, thank you for giving us this tangible reminder of what you have done for us. And we do. We remember you today, Lord. We remember your sacrifice. We remember your love. And I pray, Lord, that we would be completely focused on you in the next few minutes. We give you praise and honor today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.